Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Josiah Fogel. Josiah is the author of 3 children's books, including the book called David's Mighty Men, Stories with Grandpa. He runs the resource specialist team here at SBS. So it's kind of crazy. So Josiah is one of the most positive, upbeat, just like world-class leaders, but also just world-class human. And so he runs the resource specialist team at SBS, which collectively, so he's talked to over 4,000 people on the journey of starting their book. And so I think has a very unique perspective that's going to be really helpful to share in this interview so that we can learn as listeners. So as either as authors or aspiring authors. So there's that. And then your team, gosh, Josiah, what is it? I mean, talk to dozens, if not hundreds of people per day that are on their journey to writing a book. So, I mean, just really on the front lines. So I think that's going to bring some great insight. We're also going to be talking about children's books. And writing a book that's part of your legacy. And I think this is something that a lot of people think about, but it just maybe they don't take the leap on it. And I think Josiah's done that in a really inspiring way. So Josiah, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So first off, why did you decide to write your first book? I mean, fast forwarding to today, I know that you did, I want to say it was 3 books in 5 months or something crazy like that. So why did you decide to write your first book? And what was the meaning behind these books as a whole?
Yeah, so my books, I really didn't think books in the first place. I wasn't someone that said, I'm gonna write a book. But I am someone of passion. I love doing things that I'm passionate about. And for me, 2 things that I'm passionate about are my boys. I've got 3 boys. And another thing I'm passionate about is my faith. And that kind of collided with SPS and just being here as leading the team and talking to people about being an author. And I was like, man, I should try this myself. And one of the things that had been on my heart for a long time is my dad ended up passing away from cancer before my first son was born. And it was, it's always been like a huge burden of mine to share the legacy of who he was. With my boys. And so when I first thought about writing a nonfiction, like a memoir, talking about him and just kind of like his story, his life, as a, you know, something they could read eventually. And then it kind of like, as we started working with children's books and children's book authors. And I was like, wow, these people are like taking these ideas, putting into a kid's book, and it's like, and they're doing well. And so I was like, I can do that. And so I started with this first idea of taking some sermons and different things that my dad had taught and wanted to share them with my boys as my primary, like this is, they're written for my boys, and to share sort of his legacy of the life that he lived and short stories that he shared, a lot of them from the Bible, but other ones too. So that's kind of where the first book came from. And then it was like, hey, I can do this. Let's do it again. built that system together. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started.
That's so cool. And we often talk about learning how to write a book is kind of like learning how to ride a bike. Once you do it, you know how to do it and you can repeat the process. So it's been cool to see you repeat that process. I have a feeling there's 1 or 2 groups of people, probably 2 groups of people listening to this right now, right? Is maybe group one is, hey, I want to write a book as part of my legacy. And like, I want my kids and I want my grandkids to be able to read this from me. And then I think there's maybe a second bucket, which is maybe similar to yours, which is, okay, I want to write this book on behalf of a parent or someone who was and is influential to me that didn't get to crystallize these things. And I don't want these lessons to be lost. And mm-hmm. so I want you to speak to, like, for me, it's always been, we talk about writing a book as a legacy. And I think it can feel like a saying or like a, like, like, oh, this is part of your legacy. But man, it's so cool. And so, like, my papa, who died when I was 1 year old, his name's Amos Chandler. And everyone always raves about him. And like, he was just this amazing person. And I've always thought, you know, I'll never learn a lot of the things that are what made him amazing. And the only things that I will learn, or maybe if it was passed down by my mom primarily, it was her dad. And so I've always been like, man, I wish he would have written a book. And so can you speak to that, like, jumping out in faith and writing a legacy book? And especially because I suspect that people might be listening to this and say, like, oh, if this is just for my kids or my grandkids, some people that's like, oh, that's all the motivation I need. I'm all in. Who cares how many copies it sells? But a lot of times it can be easy to get sucked into, like, am I writing the marketable book that's going to sell copies and lose sight of this, which is like, hey, this is true impact. So mm-hmm. what would your advice be to those folks who are thinking about writing a legacy book, and how did you come to kind of that conclusion?
Yeah. So I like the question, because it's been an experience. It's been a journey. It surely has. and you've probably seen my rebranding that I've done on the book, the first book, you know, really to figure out, okay, how do I make this more than a legacy book? How do I make sure that, you know, broaden this impact? And that's been a fun journey too. But I think the thing I would say to someone who's in that position of, like, wanting to, but a little scared, because it's scary. It's scary. Like, when you're on that edge of that, you're thinking about, I want to write a book. Because there's so many people, and you talk about this all the time, Chandler, like, so many people that want to write a book, but, like, the number of people that actually do, it's really, really small. And so I think from my experience, and just kind of with my kids' books, like, it's the hardest part is not necessarily writing the first draft. The hardest part is giving your rough draft to your editor, in my opinion, because it's like, I am being vulnerable. I am sharing this story. And it's like, I don't think it's that good. Like, there's that imposter syndrome. There's so many things that are on that, like, that are right there, that go through your head at that moment, that holds a lot of people back. And I know that, you know, just part of being a part of self-publishing school has, it really kind of gave me that confidence of, like, yeah, I can do this. Like, it's called a rough draft for a reason. And for me, just kind of like my rough draft was like, I'm a hands-on person. I'm a kinesthetic learner. So I printed out, like, my 32 pages, and I, like, wrote on them. My editor was like,
that's
what
a
is
cool
this?
Idea. Yeah. That's so a fun idea though. And so you're saying, hey, I've got a 32 page book, which is kind of the I think templates that we have, and kind of your kind of for that age range, you know, typical length. So what age range are you writing to? How did you determine on the 32 pages? And then also, can you walk through that process? I think that's a really interesting process that I haven't heard many people talk about.
So the page length is kind of like, Amazon has their limits. And so it's above the limit by a little bit. Also, I wanted to make sure that my story had enough of, like, a story arc. And it's hard to do that with less. And again, my book is primarily targeted towards, like, my eldest son, who's about 5. And so that's like the preschool, elementary age. My second book is kind of a little bit, I stepped it up a little bit, not much, because I want to make sure that, like, it flows together as a series. But that's kind of my target audience. And so determining your page length and all that does it 100% based on, like, who you're targeting. And I would encourage any author that's, like, trying to figure out how long should my book be? Like, you know, that's, find other books like what you are writing. How many pages are they? Yeah. And so a lot of the kids' books that I read to my sons are around the same pages of mine.
That's great. And I would assume, I mean, you wrote to your eldest son Because then it's when your other kids are that age, you can read it to them mm-hmm. and they'll really understand it.
Yeah. And I think that honestly, like we undervalue, but like we don't understand sometimes how much the little ones pick up. Mm. And so my younger son, Caleb, he's like, you know, Buddy and Grandpa are my two main characters. And he's, you know, that like, he's like, Daddy, let's read Buddy and Grandpa. Let's read Buddy and Grandpa. It's fun. It's
yeah.
Cool. They pick up a lot.
That's amazing. What a feeling to be able to read your own book to your kids. I want to talk process a bit. You did three children's books in less than a year, I think maybe even as little as 5 or 6 months. How'd you do it? And any tips for people who are on how to move through the process quickly, but still produce a quality book?
Yeah. So really the method I used is very similar to the method that we teach in our nonfiction program, and in our children's book school specifically, we teach this. Is really just kind of getting the ideas out and doing that sort of that mind dump or idea dump, that mind map. And for me, that's where it started. It's like, okay, what are the stories that, what are the first books that I want to write? What are the first stories? And then from there, I did that kind of like just wrote down all the ideas. What does that look like? And then for me, it went from the mind map to my actual physical monstrosity of pages stapled together because I wanted it to feel a little thicker than anyways. And then it went to, I actually used a Pages. So like kind of like a Microsoft Word, but Pages on the Mac. And I worked very closely with my illustrator on my first book. It was a little bit of an interesting experience because I was getting the pictures as I was writing the story, which I don't recommend. I recommend actually knowing what pictures you want before you like get the illustrator to participate, because it'll go a lot faster, like what they did with my book 2 and 3. So then it was kind of like compiling it, and I basically did the rough formatting myself. And then I had my professional formatter come in and kind of like clean up my mess. And then, you know, go to the publishing and launching.
Got it. And so you mentioned one small thing there that I think is important. You said you recommend finding an illustrator before you move into the formatting piece, or did you say before you even
write
the draft? What point do you pull in the illustrator?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first, and like especially with kids' books, like you want to make sure you know the type of artwork you want. And so for me, that was an experience in itself of like finding an illustrator. You know, there's a ton of different ways to do it. You know, and so I ended up finding someone who I'm excited to work with long term, and we've got a couple other books in the hopper, and that relationship is so important. I can't stress that enough. Your relationship with your team, because you're building a business. Like you've got your editor, you've got your formatter, you've got your illustrator, you know, and they're all going to do a better job at what they do than you do.
Preach.
And so, yeah. So I recommend like the getting your illustrator as soon as you've got your story written down, and once you've started to think through what are the pictures, what are the images that I want, what are the story you're gonna frame it out, like what does this frame look like, what does this two-page spread look like, and having an idea of that before you go to your illustrator, you're gonna save them a lot of time, you're gonna save you a lot of time and a lot of headache about communication, because you'll be a lot more clearer on your communication with what you want and what you expect from them.
Mm, that's great. Any tips on how to find a great illustrator, and where to look?
Yeah. Well, within self-publishing school, we've got a couple of recommendations like within our Rolodex. Outside of that, I would recommend there are Facebook groups where there's illustrators who are looking for work. Mm. We've had students who have gone to local colleges. That's another option. Like, yeah, these are more the economical route.
Yeah.
And then the more of like, if you're willing to invest, and you're going to pay more, obviously, if you're willing to invest into a good illustrator, look at books that you like, find similar artists to that. Cause if they've illustrated for one book, chances are they'd be happy to illustrate for another book. Again, the price is going to go up with that, as well as different styles and types. So there's a bunch of different avenues. I think you just need to kind of open your eyes to what are the possibilities and figure out what your budget is and how much work you want to put in to find the right fit.
Cool. And I've got a couple more questions on children's book specific stuff. And then I want to dive into broader lessons learned from thousands of conversations. And I think that'll be helpful for everyone, whether you're writing children's books or nonfiction. And guys, just as a quick note, if you want to, if you want to listen to an episode that's way more in depth as well on children's book stuff too, we've got at least one episode, I want to say, with Elaine, who's one of our coaches at SBS, goes deep into the process. It's like a 101 or a 201. I think also Marcy, who used to be one of our coaches at SBS, we've got an episode with her on the podcast. So got a lot of great children's book specific content that'll be helpful for you. Josiah, can you give a kind of big picture view? How is writing a children's book different from writing more traditional nonfiction? And what's kind of the overview of the process? I think we got into the weeds quick, which is really good. But then I was just realizing there might be some people listening to this who are like, wait, hold up. How is this different? And what does the overall process look like?
Yeah. I would say the biggest difference is, you're looking at a lot less words. and it's, I would say almost being a children's book author is, one, you need to write good books, like good kids books, but you need to also be ready to manage the production. I think that you're a big like project manager role. Like if it's not you, find someone that can do it well. And because that's a huge part of having a good successful kids book, as opposed to like, a nonfiction book, you are like, you're writing it and the content is on you. Like it's about your business. It's about, whatever it is that you're writing about. And so that's probably the primary difference is that the different role almost, because you're still an author, but you also wear that second hat of like project manager for your So that's the biggest one that stands out to me in terms of classes.
Got it. Awesome. Can you talk about what worked well to market your books? How have you marketed the book successfully? You alluded to this a little bit earlier of kind of like the transition from legacy book to like, okay, how do I build a bigger platform? Which I think in itself is a really cool example of fail fast, fail forward, fail often, one of our core values at Self-Publishing School. And just like, hey, I'm going to get to publish. And okay, I've achieved my legacy goal, and how that legacy goal might transform into something where it's like, hey, with a few tweaks, I might can make this bigger than what I originally thought, which I think happens all the time with some of our students at SBS. So what worked well on the marketing side to sell copies or get reviews for the book?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, just remembering that you market your book. And I think that even with kids' books, like people think, oh, it's a kids' book, people are going to love it. I mean, they're not going to love it if they don't know about it, and they're not going to know about it if you don't tell them about it. And so remembering that that's a big part of it. And so kind of like building a launch team. And we stress this a lot at SPS, Self-Publishing School, like building a launch team and then launching well, like getting a lot of people on board with you. To build that momentum, to hit that number one in the bestseller in your categories, so that you can build momentum to do other things. And so other great marketing things that I've done that have helped me have a bunch of sales. I've spoken at a couple different schools, smaller schools, and just kind of like coming in and just talking with kids, reading with kids, giving away books also as a great way, just because again, I'm getting started. Like this is the beginning of a long-term journey. I think that right there, like having that mentality, this is a long-term game. I'm building a brand. I am doing something that I don't need to sell every single one of my books. I want to give away a lot so that Buddy and Grandpa become like the Bernstein Bears. And that was actually a huge win moment for me during my launch. I was like number one above Bernstein Bears, one of my categories. I was like, woohoo, winning. So that was a great win.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like the continual mentality of like, I need to continue to do things to move this forward in terms of, telling people about it, having it be a part of who you are now. I mean, like once you write your books, you're an author, you're a children's book author, or you're a nonfiction author. So like doing that is a huge part of just being an author and building your brand.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. We talked about a lot of tangible wins related to your books. I'd love to hear, we jokingly refer to it as the EKPI, the emotional KPI of the book. Can you talk to me about how it felt to be able to hold a book that you've written in your hands, to be able to read it to your kids? Like, what is that feeling that people can look forward to when they write their book from your experience? And then also, I think, you had a recent experience, I think, in something that's in a Facebook message that someone sent to you that was like really impactful and kind of brought that home.
Whew, man. EKPIs, woo! I think the most impactful thing for me was one thing, since mine is like, it's about my dad and to my kids. And when I saw my mom reading the book to my kids and their cousins, like, my heart, like, it was like, I don't know whether to cry or like smile or whatever. Like, but it was like this weird emotional, like, of like, wow, this is awesome. They're getting to know Grandpa John, through this, this is something that's gonna, they're gonna know who he is. I got a Facebook message, and this like completely out of the blue. So my dad was a missionary in the Philippines for over 40 years. I was born and raised there. And over the course of years, he was a ordained minister or whatever. So he, officiated a couple weddings and things like that. And I got a message on Facebook from this lady, who's now in her 40s, 50s or something like that. And she was like, Josiah, I just, happened to come across you and your book. And wanted to know that, like, I bought it for my grandkids and it was just like this emotional, like, she was so appreciative of me sharing the stories because she had heard some of them. And it was just like this, like, I was like, oh my word, like, my book is like, it's literally like impacting people that I've never met. I wasn't even born yet, probably. but it's like changing the lives of her grandkids too. And it's just so cool to think about that. And to think about, like, this is not going to just be for Liam. This is going to help other people, and cherish more of a relationship with their family, with their grandparents, and get them excited about learning things and sort of growing themselves. Mm. So it was, wow, a huge, huge win. It made it all worth it.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we talk about all the time, books change lives, and the power of leveraged impact. When you take the time to create this book, that book goes on to impact thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions of people, right? And it's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term asset. And that, you did these books in a relatively quick amount of time, but now this is something that will forever be out there for your kids, for their kids, for the kids and grandkids of people that you've never even met, but that your dad and that your family has impacted. It's a really beautiful thing. And so that's, just really, really cool to see. I want to pivot a little bit. I want to go to biggest takeaways from talking to aspiring authors. So, you've had over 4,000 calls or thereabouts with aspiring authors over the years. And so for those who are listening and aren't familiar, so Josiah and his team were one of the first people that aspiring authors that enter our world talk to. And so you've interacted with us in some way. You said, hey, I'm interested. They're often the first person that you talk to. And what I think is really cool is for a lot of people, it's the first person they've ever talked about this book with, which is a really cool and can be an intimidating thing, but also a very exciting thing because it's a jumping off point of their book writing journey. And so, guys, you'll have an opportunity to book a call here with Josiah in just a minute. But I want to distill some of the lessons from these calls. So first question, Josiah, what's the number one challenge that you see aspiring authors face? Maybe it's a recurring theme that comes up on these calls, or something that, you know, keeps people from getting started.
Yeah, that's a great question. When I talk about it all the time, really. I think the first thing, and this is probably the biggest one, is people like they come in and it's just like, I don't know what I don't know, Chandler. Like, I don't know what I don't know. And it's like having this, like, I want to do this, but I have no clue how to go from where I'm at now to being published. And what does that even look like? What does the process look like? And one of the things that in relation to that, like, part of my job is just helping people take the best next step, you know, like, and giving them the resources and tools they need to do that. And you know, that comes into various forms. A lot of times it's like recommendations, like, hey, let me make this recommendation for you. You know, read published, you know, listen to this audiobook, you know, like, and so that's one of the things I love about my job. Yay. Is being able to like make genuine recommendations to people for the, like, the best next step for them. And so I think getting stuck on not knowing what the next step is a huge thing. I think another big one is the imposter syndrome. Like, who am I? Like, they want to, but it's like, who am I? who am I to do this? Is anyone going to read it? You know, these are things I hear all the time. Like, they may not be said, but they are definitely like the underlying issue. It's like that, am I good enough? And then I think that with the last one is we could bucket it as like procrastination, of like, is now the right time? Especially for my team, as we talk to people and they're just getting started. Because a lot of times people are like, you know, yeah, this is a great idea, Josiah. I love what you guys are doing. Well, I'll do this in a couple of weeks. I'll do this in a couple of months. I'll do this in a couple of years. I've been here long enough now where I've talked to some of those people 2 years later. Yes. And I no kidding. I was on the phone this morning with a guy, his name's Aaron, and he and I talked a year ago, and it was really cool because he actually took my recommendation then and made a ton of progress with some of the resources I had sent him. And he's like, Josiah, I'm ready. And so he's a part of our program now, which is awesome. And there's people on the other side who have, like, I talk with these people a lot too, who we talked a year ago, 2 years ago, and I come back around and like, hey, you know, how's it going? Oh, haven't made any progress. And that like breaks my heart. It's like, oh no, like, yeah. How can we, like, because I want to help people. I want to help people take that next step. I would say those are probably the three big buckets, like procrastination, not knowing what you don't know. And then just like, those things.
Cool. Kind of on the flip side, I'm curious what you see as a common trait or a couple of traits from successful authors. So obviously you have the opportunity you talk to a lot of people at the start of their journey, and then you talk to a lot of people when they're 1 year in, they're about to publish, or they just published, and they're looking to go even further with us and join our Author Advantage Accelerator program, or they're renewing, or, you know, they're continuing on their author journey, and you've seen the progress that they've made and the success that they've already had, and then help them recalibrate and take the next step to keep going on their journey. So is there one or two common traits that you've seen from the people who are successful that you talk to?
I would say the single number one biggest thing is being coachable. has Tori Geiger been on the podcast yet? If not, she should be on.
I don't think she has yet. Well, we got to get her booked.
Yeah. So Tori's a great example of someone who's just extremely coachable. And she started in our Become a Bestseller program, and then she joined the Accelerator, and she's got her own courses that she's selling now, helping people with heart disease. Another great, like, you know, she herself is a survivor of that, and an encouragement to so many people that are going through it. Just like that coachability, like, she is just someone who's soaking things up of like, teach me, like, tell me, like, show me what to do and I will do it. And so the coachability, but also the follow through.
Yeah.
Like making sure, like, because as an author, you've got to put work in, you've got to do the work. So combination of like, I want to learn, show me where what's worked, and then let like people that actually take the initiative to do it. And I think that's where, you know, as self-publishing school, we kind of come alongside, and that's how we help.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. So a couple final things here. So I want to hear your experience. So based on all of these thousands of calls and your personal book experience, your advice for aspiring authors. Okay. And so that's, you gotta let you chew on that. And before you answer that, guys, if you'd like to book a call with Josiah to talk about your book, and this is going to be kind of a 15, 20 minute call, talk about your goals for your book, your challenges with your book, your next steps, getting into some of that, and then seeing how we might be able to help you. All right. If you're a fit, we can set you for a longer call where we'll be able to go more in depth on your book. If that's something that you're interested in, you're serious about this book, go to self-publishingschool.com/Josiah. Go ahead and book a call with him. That's self-publishingschool.com/Josiah. These slots will fill up very quickly, especially about the time that this podcast comes out. So I'd encourage you to book a call right now. Go ahead and grab a time, self-publishingschool.com/Josiah. So knowing what you know now, Josiah, from these thousands of calls and from your own experience with your own books, what's kind of your advice for aspiring authors?
I think it centers around the actually taking action. I would say take action. That's the one thing I would say, and that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. For most people that are authors, that are aspiring authors, it's getting that rough draft done. You know,
yes.
Take action, get it done. Like we've seen that time and time again as like the number one thing that leads to one, finishing a book, and two, like, you know, the rate at which you do that. I don't know what the correlation is 100%, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty high of getting that done quickly to being able to launch that and leverage that successfully and well.
Yeah. So, focus on the rough draft, take action and get started. Josiah, any thoughts for people who are thinking about booking a call with you and kind of taking that leap of faith to actually talk about their book and start moving from inspiration to implementation?
Yeah. Like first and foremost, like don't be afraid. I'm not going to bite. It's virtual. I can't bite over the phone, but no, like if you're curious about like, what does it look like? How do I take a step? Like, I hope you hear my heart. Like I want to help. Like that's maybe my heart is too big in that way. I want to help everyone. But honestly, like whatever it ends up being, whatever the recommendation is, it'll be something that is genuinely from my heart to help you take one step forward.
Awesome. Well, so, guys and girls, if you're thinking about this and getting going with your book, let's move from inspiration to implementation. Right? It's time to start thinking about, to stop thinking about the book, dreaming about the book, putting it on the maybe someday list, the maybe next year list. And it's time to implement and take action, as Josiah said. So you can book a call with him at self-publishingschool.com/Josiah. We're all about action at Self-Publishing School. And so we want to help you take the very next step that works for you. So maybe that's working with us to help you with your book. Maybe that's some of the free resources that we can provide to help you. Either way, Josiah is going to help pair you up with that. So Josiah, where can people go to buy your books and to support your books?
Is it anywhere books are sold? Is that what we're supposed to say? yeah. So if you guys want to know more about like my series, obviously you can get them on Amazon. Storieswithgrandpa.com. I don't know why it wasn't taken, but it's now taken by me. So storieswithgrandpa.com is my website. It's a work in progress, guys. So don't hate on me. But you can find my books there. You can find a little bit about my story, my dad's story. And also you can also book a call through that website to my calendar. So pretty cool.
Oh, cool. Storieswithgrandpa.com. And then Josiah, is there one book that you recommend as the starter Kind of like who, I guess we didn't get into this a ton, but who's the book for, and which one would you recommend purchasing first?
Oh, so I would definitely recommend David's Mighty Men if for one of my books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be, David's Mighty Men. It's my first book. I think it's a great book personally. And it also sets the stage for book two. And then book three is more of a journal, but it's I would say book one, then book two, then book three, cool. Maybe.
Cool. And this is for people who want to teach their kids about faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So we dive into stories from the Bible. David's Mighty Men is about how God gave David and his mighty men from the Bible super strength. And we talk about how he gave them that to do amazing and unbelievable things, and how we also have that similar strength in us. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're believers, if we believe, then we can do awesome things too. And it doesn't have to be as elaborate. Sometimes it might mean sharing toys with our brother. Sometimes it might mean, you know, doing the hard thing and telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, comforting our brother in a storm. So
yeah, amazing. Storieswithgrandpa.com. Grab a copy of the book. And if you'd like to book a call with Josiah to talk about your book, like you mentioned, you can do it from that site or go to self-publishingschool.com/Josiah. That's JOSIAH. Josiah, you're the man. Thank you.
Thanks, Chandler. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.